attention when I'd all but decided that I deserved none. He gave me a way out. I hadn't even known I wanted a way out at that point. But when he asked me to go with him, it felt like a fresh start. The thought of staying in Silver Point and seeing you all the time, I couldn't do it. Nor did I want to go home. My stepmother was there, and I didn't want to speak to her again. Living with her was unbearable. I hated it as much as she did. I knew we couldn't share the same space. She had a responsibility towards you. You shouldn't have been the one to leave. Now, I needed to. She watched as the couple walked hand in hand along the shoreline. Can I ask you a question? What could he ask that she hadn't already been asked by someone else, probably a stranger? Yes, I know better than to believe everything I read, but he looked at her. Did he make you happy? Once, she would have found that question difficult to answer, but talking it through with him had given her a clarity that had been missing for her over the years. He was what I needed, she said finally. Were we happy all the time? No, but there were good times. It was easy to forget those and focus only on the bad, easy to hold on to anger and hurt, regret. Too easy sometimes to view her marriage through the eyes of others. Cliff had been far from perfect, but she hadn't been perfect either. She'd held part of herself back. She'd been afraid to give freely in case what she gave was rejected. Afraid to be open, in case that made her vulnerable. And now you're taking care of Ashley. Is that strange? Sorry. He lifted his hand by way of apology. None of my business. She laughed, and he looked at her again. What's funny? You asking me if I'm taking care of Ashley. If anything, she's the one taking care of me. You mean because she left to protect you? Not just that. She thought about Ashley teaching her to cook, patiently adjusting the heat to stop Joanna burning everything. She thought about Ashley urging her to try on dresses she wouldn't have touched had she been by herself. Ashley offering her dating advice and offering to go with her to see Denise. She makes me want more from my life. She makes me feel I could have more. They sat quietly on the sand, side by side, watching the waves roll in and then retreat, over and over again. You like her?
Very much.
Well, she's lucky to have you in her corner. Lucky that you haven't lost your kindness, despite everything. What are your long-term plans?
We haven't figured that part out yet.
In her head, she had. The idea had been simmering for a few days, but yesterday she'd been sure. She knew what she wanted. But what did Ashley want? They still hadn't talked about it.
We're taking this a day at a time. When she experiences firsthand the media feeding frenzy I attract, she might decide she doesn't want to be a part of it.
Now, she didn't seem to care too much about that. Her feelings and concern were all for you. Thinking about Ashley made her realize they'd been gone for too long.
We should get back. She scrambled to her feet and brushed sand from her legs. They'll be wondering where we are.
Wondering, maybe, but not worried. I'm glad we did this. It's good to finally get to talk.
Yes.
Her heart beat a little faster, and she chose to ignore it. Can we do it again?
Do what again?
Spend time together. He paused. Before anything else, we were friends. I'd like that again. Would you?
You want us to be friends?
Was that possible? She was feeling something, that was for sure. But was it new or a shadow of the old? Of course, it was natural to look back and be curious about what might have been. But looking forward to what could be? When it came to Nate, she'd always have a weakness. But was that a problem?
Right now, I'm taking life a day at a time.
As you're taking life a day at a time, what are your plans for tomorrow? It's my day off. Do you want to swim? I can bring a picnic.
They'd reached the path, and he waited while she slid on her sandals, taking her time while she thought. Did she want to swim?
Did she want to sit on a picnic rug and share food with this man who had once had her whole heart? Maybe she did. If she was going to stay here, live here, make the place her home, then she didn't want to hide from any part of it. "I can't do tomorrow. I have plans with Ashley." She could see he didn't believe her. "She's teaching me to cook. Tomorrow is grilled cheese sandwich. The day after that is chicken or maybe risotto. I can't remember. Ashley is in charge." "Chicken? I thought you were vegetarian." She smiled. "Sometimes." "So, grilled cheese? Why?" He looked confused. "You've been married to a top chef for 2 decades.
"Precisely. I crave food that doesn't expect applause when it arrives at the table, and I want to learn to make it myself. Ashley's teaching me."
An idea came to her. "Give me a few days to practice a few dishes, and then you can come to dinner. The question is, are you brave enough to say yes?"
"Yes."
He didn't hesitate, and she smiled. "I'll let you know when. We can eat and swim from the beach, like we used to."
"Sounds good. Do you have your phone?"
"Yes. Why?"
"Well, because you're going to need my number for when you invite me to dinner."
She pulled out her phone, unlocked it, and handed it over so that he could add himself to her contacts. She had a feeling Ashley would be proud of her. She was going to invite him on a date. She was going to swim with him. She was going to cook for him. She was going to be his friend. Did that make her brave or foolish? She didn't know. But no doubt she'd find out soon enough. Chapter 18. Mel.
"That was a success." Mel waved until Joanna's car was out of sight. "Nowhere near as awkward as I thought it would be. And Nate was warm and friendly. Can't have been easy. I'm sure a part of him is still hurt. Joanna ended their relationship very suddenly and then left with Cliff. You're probably thinking it was a long time ago, but when you're young, these things can have a lasting impact." "Why are you staring at me?"
Maybe because that wasn't what happened?"
Eden grabbed Bess to stop her chasing after the car.
"It happened."
Mel tugged up a couple of weeds that had appeared on her front border. "I was here. I lived through it. But we're all putting it behind us, and that's good."
Eden shook her head in frustration. "You are always so convinced that your interpretation of everything is right. It doesn't enter your head that you could be wrong. Well, newsflash, you're not always right, Mom."
Mel glanced up and saw the fire in Eden's eyes and the lift of her chin. She wished, not for the first time, that her daughter was less like her. That rip of temper, that stubborn streak. What had she done to attract Eden's anger this time? She had no idea.
"I don't always think I'm right, but I'm right about this."
Mel tugged a weed out of the ground harder than was necessary. She'd had a pleasant evening chatting with Joanna. It hadn't been as easy and comfortable as it had been growing up, but she'd enjoyed herself despite that. And now the evening was still warm. The scents from her border were intoxicating. She'd been feeling mellow, but that wasn't going to last if the conversation with Eden carried on.
"You see? You have to have the last word. You are not right. It wasn't Joanna who dumped Nate. It was the other way around."
"You know nothing about it, Eden." Mel gave up on the weeds. Mellow was giving way to irritable.
"No. Have you actually ever asked Joanna what happened?"
"I don't need to. I know what happened."
"You think you know. Ask her, Mom. Ask her what really happened, and then get ready to apologize."
A few years ago, she'd been worried about how she'd handle Eden leaving the nest. Right now, she was ready to push her out.
"Eden, Uncle Nate dumped her. That's what happened. He dumped her."
Her voice rose and Bess gave a little whine, not knowing what was wrong, but sure that something was.
"And she was so upset about the whole thing, she left town with that guy Cliff."
"Well, that isn't true."
"Yeah, it's true. Ashley told me. She didn't mean to. But I'm glad she did, because it reminded me again to always question what I think I know."
Mel ignored the less than subtle dig. Her heart thudded hard. Could it be true? No, Nate wouldn't have lied to her.
but he hadn't actually talked about it, had he? He'd always refused. And if he was the one who'd broken up with Joanna, who'd explain why Joanna had looked so confused when Mel had demanded an apology? A hideous, uncomfortable feeling crawled through her insides. If Eden was right. But if that's what happened, why wouldn't Joanna have called me? I don't know. Eden rolled her eyes. Maybe because you're so opinionated, you're not that easy to talk to? Opinionated? Not easy to talk to? She swallowed. Presumably, for Eden, this was no longer about Joanna. That's an unkind thing to say. Maybe. Eden had the grace to flush. But it's the truth, even if it's difficult to hear. It wasn't the truth. If people are in trouble, I always listen. Yeah, but there are different types of listening. What's that supposed to mean? Eden shrugged. There's the kind where you actually listen and hear, and then the kind where you listen and then rush in to offer solutions and judgment because you think you know what's best. You do the second sort. You have to fix things. It's like other people's problems are part of your to-do list and you want to tick them off. Mel absorbed that blow. If someone I love is in trouble, then yes, I'm going to try and help fix it. Is that a crime? No, not a crime, but not helpful either, because you can't fix someone else's life. And sometimes, all a person needs is to talk and express how they're feeling. But with you, that's not allowed because you jump in with solutions. But that was because she was trying to help. What was wrong with trying to help the people you loved? Joanna and I talked about everything. We were best friends. Her mouth felt dry. If Nate had ended their relationship, she would have told me. Well, she didn't. I can't explain that, and I'm not going to try, because I'm not a mind reader, and I have no idea what was in her head. The implication being that Mel made assumptions. Was that true? She'd taken all the pieces and formed a picture in her head, but it was true that the pieces could also form a different picture. Why hadn't that occurred to her before? If Joanna hadn't already left, she would have asked her straight out. But Joanna had gone, which left one other person who knew the truth. Without saying anything else to Eden, Mel strode around the house to the garden at the back. Bess followed her, her tail wagging with a little less confidence than usual. Mel knew how she felt. She'd never felt so unsettled in her life. She felt shaky, a little beaten up by Eden's words. Later, she knew she'd need to indulge in some uncomfortable self-reflection, but for now, she just wanted to get to the truth. Her husband and her brother were sprawled on the grass, beer in hand, deep in conversation. Greg, the tone of her voice made him look up. I need you to take a walk. A walk? Now? He frowned and sat up. I'm happy sitting here with... You're going to take a walk on your own, and you're going to be gone for 15 minutes. That's very specific. Why 15 minutes? Because that's how long it's going to take to say what I need to say to Nate, and then calm down afterward. Greg sighed and stood up. What? Nate sat up. You're seriously going to do what she says? What happened to brotherhood? It takes second place to a little thing called marriage. Also, I call this de-escalation tactics. Well, I call it cowardice, Nate muttered as he watched his friend retreat. Resigned to the inevitable, he turned his gaze onto his sister. It seems you've got something to say. Too right I've got something to say. Several things. Stand up. Jeez, Mel. Nate Monroe, you're going to stand up right now. He sighed and stood. What? I discovered an interesting fact tonight. She didn't say how or where she discovered it. She didn't want Eden in the middle of this. About you and Joanna. His expression turned wary. Mel, I never understood why she ghosted me. After everything we'd been through together, all those years, such a long friendship, I could never figure it out. She dumped you, but she also dumped me, and I couldn't make sense of that. Until today. She saw her brother's expression change. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? I can guess. Listen, Mel. No, right now, you're the one doing the listening. She stabbed him in the chest with her finger. Then remembered that her hot temper was her downfall, and reined it in.
and then you're going to be doing the explaining, but I'll let you know when we reach that part.
He backed away. Mel, you broke up with her? All these years, you let me think she was the one who broke up with you, and it was the other way around, wasn't it?
She desperately wanted him to deny it, but he simply watched her, and she wanted to groan and give herself a shake for not seeing the truth.
All these years, I've been wondering what I'd done, and it turns out I hadn't done anything. It was all you.
She was shaking with anger.
Why didn't you talk to me about it? Why didn't you tell me any of this?
Because it was my relationship, my business, Joanna's business. And you need to calm down. You're upsetting Bess.
He stooped, stroked and reassured the dog.
It's all right, girl. Your Auntie Mel is angry, but you don't need to defend me.
The way I feel right now, she may need to defend you. And normally, I'd agree with you that your relationships are your business, but not on this occasion. Your relationship with Joanna was very much my business because she was my best friend, too. If I'd known the truth, I could have supported her, but she pushed me away and I let her because I was so conflicted about the whole thing. I couldn't figure out how I could be friends with her when she'd hurt you so badly. How could I sit and listen to her talking about you? It was complicated. But if I'd known the truth, it would have been straightforward. I would have been there for her.
Nate straightened. I don't want to talk about this.
But I want to, and you owe it to me.
Why, Nate?
Bess whined, and he put his hand on her head.
Why?
Because I was 18 and didn't know how to handle things.
He glanced at something over her shoulder, and Mel turned to see what had attracted his attention.
Greg stood there, and she scowled.
I said 15 minutes.
They can hear you down on the beach, Mel. Possibly up in San Francisco if the wind is blowing in the right direction. You might want to take it down a notch.
He sighed.
Ending a relationship is not a crime.
No, but letting me throw my friendship under a bus because of it definitely should be.
And you should stay out of this, Mel advised. This is a twin thing.
Actually, this is between Nate and Joanna, Greg said. This isn't your problem, Mel.
But that's just it. It is my problem. Why couldn't they both see that? They both had tunnel vision. Joanna was my best friend. When she ended her relationship with Nate, she ended our friendship, too. I missed her. I missed her so much.
She almost choked on the words.
But I lived with that because I thought she'd broken my brother's heart. I defended you, Nate. I was protective, angry with her, and I've held on to some of that anger. A few days ago, I yelled at her.
Nate frowned. You yelled at her?
Yes, and I hate myself for it. And I'm going to have to apologize for that and a lot of other things, but none of it would have happened if Nate had told me the truth from the beginning.
She sank her hands into her hair, wishing desperately that she could wind the clock back, wishing she could erase some of her worst character traits.
That was the night you kissed Whitney. I thought you were drowning your sorrows after Joanna ended it with you. You let me think that. Instead, you wanted to let Joanna know it was over.
He winced visibly. Kissing Whitney was a mistake.
You think?
She looked at him in despair and frustration.
I always wondered why Joanna left with Cliff so suddenly, and now I know. You made it impossible for her to stay.
That's not true. I never wanted her to leave, and I didn't know what was going to happen with Denise.
Denise? What happened with Denise?
You don't know?
Why would I know? Thanks to you, Joanna doesn't confide in me anymore.
Nate ran his hand over the back of his neck.
Let's just say she wasn't supportive when she found out we'd broken up.
Stop. I can't hear this. Mel lifted her hands to her ears.
She had a fight with her stepmother, and you didn't tell me that either?
I only found out that part tonight.
Taken aback, Mel let her hands drop.
She told you? She talked about it tonight?
Yes. We talked about it.
Well, good.
Some of the fire vanished.
I hope she gave you hell.
Well, she didn't.
Well, she's too nice.
She didn't have anyone, Nate. She was alone. She didn't talk to me because you were my brother, and she thought I'd have divided loyalties.
It killed her, thinking of how isolated Joanna must have felt. She'd been barely older than Eden.
Nate spread his hands.
What do you want me to say? You want to hear me admit that I screwed up? Yes, I screwed up. I knew that pretty much right away, and I've known it for the past 2 decades.
Why didn't you tell me the truth?
He hesitated. Because I was angry with myself, and I didn't want you to be angry with me too. I didn't want to disappoint you. I'm your big brother, remember?
And by 4 minutes.
Also, you're so damn perfect, and I wasn't sure you'd understand that even a person who means well can get it badly wrong.
Perfect? She almost choked on the word.
Me?
Yes, you. No matter what life throws at you, you cope. You always have the answers to everything. You never have doubts. You barrel through life with total confidence that you're right. You never screw up. I didn't need you to make me feel worse about it by telling me all the things I'd done wrong and what I should do to fix it.
You're not that easy to talk to.
Mel felt her eyes fill. A lump settled in her throat. She flung herself at her brother, and he raised his hands to defend himself, and then realized it was a hug.
I thought you were about to kill me on the spot.
He pulled her closer.
Are you crying? Is drowning me your way of finishing me off?
Oh, don't, Mel. If you cry, then I'm never going to be able to forgive myself.
I'm not perfect. I'm so far from perfect. I'm hot-tempered and impulsive, and I think I know best about everything, and I'm maddening, and I'm a terrible listener, even though I try hard to listen. But you have to understand it's because I care so much and just can't bear anyone I love to be in trouble. I just want to fix things. And I know that seems controlling, and it probably is, but it comes from a place of love.
Hey, I know all this.
He rubbed her back.
What is this all about? Are we still talking about Joanna?
I don't know.
She pulled away and sniffed.
Sorry you felt you couldn't tell me. For the record, I love you, even though you're flawed. Possibly more because of it.
He grinned and wiped her cheeks with the edge of his shirt.
Are we getting soppy now?
Yeah, maybe we are.
She didn't feel able to smile back.
You're not that easy to talk to.
What if Eden found herself in trouble, as Joanna had? Who would she turn to?
Not Mel, if her comments had been anything to go on.
Did she know how much her mother cared? How much she loved her?
Obviously not, which meant she was a terrible mother.
Nate kept his hands on her shoulders.
So, are we good? Am I forgiven for totally messing up?
This relationship, at least, she could fix.
I'm glad you messed up. It makes you human and makes me feel slightly less bad about myself.
She sniffed, and Nate looked at Greg.
Do you have the slightest idea what she's talking about?
No, but that's fine. I find it works sometimes to just accept things the way they are and not try and understand them.
Greg held out his hand to Mel, and she went straight to him.
The anger left her.
Relationships ended, didn't they?
It was a fact of life. And if the right feeling wasn't there, it wasn't there.
But she thought that for Joanna and Nate, it was.
Maybe there never would have been an easy way, she conceded. The four of us were so close, it would have been difficult to find a way to recalibrate that.
And it could have been us, Greg and me.
Greg pulled her closer.
No, it couldn't. I was gone the moment I saw you do your first cartwheel on the beach. And you need me. You'd never get out of bed in the morning if I didn't rip the covers off.
I hate that you rip the covers off.
You sleep through the alarm if I don't.
Does that annoy you?
No. It's adorable.
His fingers stroked her arm.
I need you too, by the way.
Mel felt a rush of gratitude. She'd never needed evidence of his love more than she did at that moment.
You don't think I'm a hot-tempered, interfering misfix-it?
I do. And I love that about you.
You do?
She kissed his cheek and Nate rolled his eyes.
Not everyone has what you two have.
He bent to give Bess a belly rub.
But for what it's worth, if I could change the way things happened, then I would.
And I'm sorry it made things hard for you, Mel.
I'm sorry that because of me, you lost her too.
Having confronted all her own flaws, she was ready to be forgiving about his.
You were 18.
18-year-old boys aren't known for their tact at handling delicate emotional situations. But now she was curious.
So you and Joanna talked about it? Did you apologize?
Nate held up his hand. Just because we discussed what happened 20 years ago doesn't mean I'm turning into a gossip. My conversations with Joanna are private.
She sighed. I guess I love that about you, even if it is frustrating.
Is everything okay here?
Eden appeared behind them and Mel turned. How long had she been listening?
Everything is fine. We've just been talking, that's all.
And in a way, she had Eden to thank for that.
Thank you for keeping Ashley company tonight.
Of course, I like her.
Eden looked wary.
We're going to hang out tomorrow. Can I borrow your car? She doesn't drive and she doesn't want to bother Joanna because she's already done so much for her.
Mel's heart bumped. Not that she believed anything of what she'd read online, but Ashley was pregnant. Ashley wouldn't be going to college. Eden was so impressionable. But she was also sensible. Was she? Was she sensible? Either way, she couldn't protect her forever, could she? She was her mother, not her keeper. Her job was to support her, not control her. It didn't matter whether her concern came from a place of love or not. She had to start trusting her daughter to make good choices.
You can borrow my car, she said. We'll drive up to Otter's Nest together, and I can spend time with Joanna, while you and Eden go wherever you want to go.
Cool. Thanks, Mom.
Eden seemed surprised that it had all been so easy, and sauntered off, ponytail swinging. Mel wanted to call after her. She wanted to say, come and walk on the beach with me. But she was afraid Eden might refuse, and her confidence couldn't take another knock.
You're not that easy to talk to.
Eden had accused her of trying to fix everything, but how could she not try and fix this? She needed her daughter to know that she could talk to her. She needed Eden to believe that her mother would listen, properly listen. How was she going to do that?
Chapter 19, Ashley.
So did he kiss you?
Ashley passed the cheese to Joanna.
No, he did not kiss me.
Shame, I bet he's a good kisser. But you already know that, don't you?
Oh, don't slice that cheese too thickly. We're going to layer it.
I haven't kissed him for more than 20 years. I don't even remember it.
You're lying, but he's probably even better now. Ashley nudged Joanna.
Boy and man, right?
The sun shone through the open doors and spilled light onto the kitchen counters as they chopped and sliced.
We should not be having this conversation.
Why not?
I can tell you're loving it. You're smiling.
I'm smiling because I like cheese.
You're smiling because you like Nate.
We were talking about kissing.
Joanna sighed. I'm too old for this. If you want to talk about kissing boys, you can talk to Eden. I'm sure she knows a lot more about it than I do.
Can I use any cheese to make this?
She sliced the cheese carefully, exactly as Ashley had taught her.
See, that's your problem right there.
Ashley leaned against the countertop, and Joanna put the knife down and looked at her.
Not knowing enough about cheese? Thinking you're too old. You're 40, Joanna. 40 is young. You're in your prime. Stop acting like your life is over.
Just because I'm not interested in romance doesn't mean I'm treating my life as if it's over. You were going to tell me about cheese.
In a minute. Now you're scared. I get it. Love is the biggest risk you take, isn't it?
She thought about all the missed calls and messages waiting on her phone from John, and the thought of it stressed her out so much, she leaned across, cut some cheese, and ate it.
I mean, it's your heart and your trust. And giving all that to someone is a big deal because you're basically giving them the most vulnerable part of you. What if you ruin everything?
She stared at Joanna.
Okay, maybe this whole love thing is overrated. Maybe we should just live here, make grilled cheese, and grow old together. That sounds safer.
Are we talking about me or you? I've lost track.
Both of us.
I have feelings for John.
She wouldn't have admitted that to anyone but Joanna.
I always have, but he's been a good friend to me, and I guess I'm afraid of losing that,
Everything's going to change.
You haven't listened to the messages?
No,
haven't had the courage. Because the moment I listen to those messages, I'm going to have to respond. And I still haven't figured out the best way to tell him about the baby.
And now she felt embarrassed because she'd nudged Joanna out of her comfort zone, but was staying firmly within her own. But this was different, wasn't it?
Maybe he saw the news and he already knows.
Maybe. All the more reason to figure out what I want before we talk.
When you and Nate went from friends to something more than friends, were you nervous?
Joanna put the knife down.
No, Nate was always in my life. Friend, then lover. It seemed a natural progression. I didn't think about it ruining our friendship because I didn't think that would happen. It didn't cross my mind.
She glanced at Ashley.
That was pretty naive of me, wasn't it?
No.
Did it feel strange seeing him again?
Surprisingly, no. It felt natural and easy.
Which is why I'm going to do it again.
Joanna picked the knife up again.
When you've taught me to do 3 courses, I'm going to invite him to dinner.
You,
Ashley gaped at her.
You're inviting him to dinner?
Yes, but everyone in this town knows that I'm a terrible cook, so I'm going to need some practice first. I need you to help me pick a menu. I want it to be about the conversation, but I don't want to poison him with one of my usual charred offerings.
You haven't burned anything while we've been doing this together.
Ashley's head was reeling. Joanna was going to invite Nate to dinner. She wanted to punch the air.
I'm proud of you. Is this just dinner or dinner and something more?
I don't know. Best to see if he survives dinner first.
Do you cook for John?
Yes, but he cooks too. He's always hungry. It's kind of a joke. And I fix his computer. I'm more practical, and he's arty.
She missed him so much.
He's a brilliant musician. He plays 5 different instruments, and he writes songs and plays guitar. I'm sure he's going to be big one day.
And he draws funny little sketches that look exactly like the person he's drawing.
I can't draw, and I can't sing, but I can fix his car, so I guess that's something.
Well, he sounds special, and you obviously have a good relationship. Maybe you should stop worrying about what to say to John and just call him.
It's not that easy. What do I say? Do I just tell him I'm pregnant? Or do I tell him I love him and I'm pregnant? That's double the pressure, right?
The thought of it made her feel ill. She was putting off listening to those messages because she was afraid of the outcome. Once she listened, it would be real. Whatever he said would be fact, and then she'd know, and she could no longer lie there at night, dreaming and imagining. She was scared. She was so damn scared.
You're assuming it's going to be bad.
Joanna ate a slice of cheese, too.
He might be thrilled, and you'll both ride off into the sunset and live in a cottage by the sea with roses around the door.
Ashley felt an ache in her chest.
And there won't be a cottage with roses around the door. Right now, a roof over my head is the dream. Whether I can afford walls, too, remains to be seen.
A wave of gloom engulfed her.
I don't know why I'm worrying about love, when what I really need to worry about is how I'm going to afford to live. And then there's medical care, as you said before. I ought to see someone.
I'll talk to Mel, find out who she recommends. She knows everyone.
Are we going to cook this, or just eat the cheese and then the bread?
We're going to cook it.
Layer the cheese.
Joanna put thin slices of cheese onto the bread, the way Ashley had taught her.
Talking of being able to afford to live, I called my lawyer this morning.
Right. Hope he was helpful.
You're going to need slightly more cheese than that. This is comfort food, and the amount you've put in there wouldn't comfort anyone. If you're going to sin, sin big, I always say.
My lawyer is a she, and she was helpful.
I wanted to ask her the best way to give money to you and the baby.
Joanna finished constructing the sandwich and slid it carefully into the pan.
Now watch me burn this.
Money?
Ashley stared at her.
You can't give me money.
It's my money. I can do with it what I like.
And what I'd like to do, Joanna said, is what Cliff should have done in the first place.
Well, is the heat too high?
It's fine.
Ashley barely glanced at the sandwich.
You mean alone, right?
No, I don't mean alone.
You don't need that hanging over you. You have enough to deal with, Ashley.
Joanna wiped her hands on her apron. I can't help with most of your worries, but at least I can help with the practical side and also pay for proper medical care. I'll be giving you money, and I'd like you to live here with me for a while. You can figure out what you want to do before making any big decisions. I should probably tell you the amount so you can plan.
Joanna named a figure, and Ashley assumed she'd misheard.
How much?
She listened as Joanna repeated it, and then she held the countertop because it was that or faint.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding. Joanna carefully turned the sandwich. Now, don't distract me because I'm not going to burn this.
No, I can't accept.
Ashley, this is what Cliff should have done when you were a baby.
Oh, the heat is too high. No matter what you say, I know this is too high.
Joanna lowered the heat slightly.
If he'd done the right thing, you and your mom would have lived in comfort. Her medical bills would have been covered. You wouldn't have lost your home, and you wouldn't now be worried about how to go to college and support a baby.
I want that for you now.
Joanna, don't make a decision now. Think about it for a while, and then say yes.
But emotion rushed through her, filled her throat, and made her eyes sting.
It's the thing I've been struggling with most. How I'm going to afford to work and still look after my baby.
Well, now you have choices.
Why? Why would you do that?
Why wouldn't I?
I have what I need. The rest of the money is just going to sit around while I figure out which charities to support. I was never lucky enough to have kids.
Joanna paused, focused on the sandwich.
But if I ever had a daughter, I would have wanted her to be just like you. Not that I'm pretending to be your mother or anything weird. From the sounds of it, you were lucky enough to have a caring and a wonderful mother. But I hope I can be a friend.
Ashley looked at her, this woman who had every reason to hate her, certainly had reason to resent her mother.
How can you say that? You should be so angry with her. I'm angry with her, and embarrassed.
Why?
Her choices aren't yours.
Joanna lifted the pan from the heat for a moment.
Was I angry with her?
Yes, of course. I was angry with her and angry with Cliff.
But doing a bad thing, making a bad choice, doesn't make you a bad person.
There was plenty your mother did right.
You never met her. You didn't know her.
But I know you. She raised you to be independent and have self-respect. She taught you to be courageous and stand up for what you thought was right. That's why you climbed into the car with Cliff.
She loved you and made sure you knew you were loved.
I've never been a parent, but I've been a child, and I'm pretty sure that feeling loved, knowing you're loved, and accepted no matter what, is the most important thing.
Joanna paused and then smiled at her.
And she taught you to cook, which is always a bonus.
I've never been a parent.
Ashley was sure Joanna would have been a wonderful mother, but she didn't say so. That might upset her. She didn't want to upset Joanna.
How do I forgive my mom for not telling me the truth about my real dad? How do I stop being so angry?
I don't know. I'm not a psychologist. Joanna frowned. But honestly, I think your mother wanted the best for you, and she probably knew that Cliff wasn't the best. And I think she was probably right. Even if he had taken responsibility, he probably would have let you down. That's who he was. I'm guessing your mother was trying to protect you from that. Also, she might have been trying to protect you from the media attention.
Why hadn't any of that occurred to her?
That actually makes sense.
You said there was good stuff about him, too.
You said you'd tell me?
Even though she struggled to think of Cliff as her father, she needed some good to dilute the bad.
The good stuff.
Joanna leaned against the counter and kept one eye on the pan.
He had more charisma than anyone I'd ever met. When he talked to you, he made you feel as if you were the only person in the room.
He was a good listener, and he was a born entertainer.
And he liked the attention.
A little too much.
Joanna paused.
But he had his reasons for that. Cliff had a tough childhood. He never talked about it much. He tried to put it behind him. But I know his father was abusive. It was just the two of them,
and Cliff had to fight his way out of that situation. He cooked, because if he didn't, then they didn't eat. And he discovered he was good at it. He drove himself hard, and some of that was also because of his childhood. It was survival, but it was also about proving something to himself. And he never felt as if he'd done enough, never felt secure. He was running from his past, but he never felt he could stop running. He needed constant reassurance, adulation, love. She'd seen Cliff as this remote public figure. It was strange to think of him as a human being with a whole life she knew nothing about. You think that was why he had affairs? I think it contributed. People do things for a reason. The past shapes all of us. She thought about her own experiences. I guess it does. You think that was why he wasn't interested in me, because of his own childhood? Joanna thought for a moment. I suspect he was scared. Scared that he might have some of his own father in him. Scared that he might mess you up the way he'd been messed up. But he was also selfish. He'd had to look after himself for so long, he wasn't used to putting anyone else first. Right. Her image of Cliff had shifted and changed in her head, and her feelings had shifted too. Her anger and hurt were blunted by the reminder that he'd been human, that he'd been dealing with things just like everyone else. Thanks for telling me that. It helps. Good. Joanna smiled. Now can we talk about cheese? I'm still waiting for you to tell me about cheese, whether I can make this with any cheese. Joanna glanced at her. You're crying. Oh, why are you crying? Because you... Ashley flung her arms around her and after a moment felt Joanna hug her back. Is this a test? Her voice was thickened. Are you trying to see what it takes to make me burn the food? No. Ashley clung for a moment and then stepped back. You're right. Concentrate. And no, you can't use any cheese. It needs to have good melting properties. Jarlsberg is my favorite, but you can use others. My mom used Monterey Jack and Gruyere. Ashley pointed to the bread they'd picked up in the market. This artisan white bread is perfect, but my mom always used sourdough, and it was delicious. Her mind flashed back to the hours she'd spent in the kitchen with her mother, learning to make bread. The fun times they'd had. Joanna was right. The affair with Cliff was just one part of her mother's life and who she was. I like this artisan bread. I'll keep using that. What are you going to make for Nate? Ashley dried her cheeks with the flat of her hand. How about chicken with olives? It's easy. You can serve it with green salad. Sounds perfect. Do lots of things have to happen at the same time? No, you can make it in advance, and then it can sit there and wait until you're ready to eat it. When are you inviting him to dinner? As soon as you've taught me the dishes and I've practiced them once, I'll call him. We'll practice tonight. I'll pick up what we need when I'm out with Eden. Joanna carefully transferred the grilled cheese, now golden brown, to the plates. You're getting along well? Yes, she's great. You don't mind me going out? Of course not. You don't have to ask permission, Ashley. This is your home. Joanna handed her a plate. Shall we take this onto the terrace? Yes, let's. Home. Are you serious about me staying here with you for a while? As long as you like. I assume you'll want your independence eventually, but if you don't, that's fine. Ashley was floored by the generosity. It doesn't seem right somehow. Well, I'm not offering you charity. Joanna sat down and ate her first mouthful of grilled cheese sandwich. She closed her eyes and savored it. I'd expect something in return. What? You cook sometimes and carry on teaching me to cook. You can brush the sand out of the living room because I hate that job. Joanna opened her eyes and stared down at her plate. This is delicious, better than anything I've ever tasted. Ashley laughed. Joanna, it's grilled cheese. I know, and it's perfect. Joanna savored another mouthful. Maybe you do have some of Cliff in you after all. Ashley tensed. But you said I wasn't like him. Well, you can cook. Joanna finished the sandwich. So you have that in common. Cliff was a natural in the kitchen. He did it all by instinct, and his instincts were good. You seem to have inherited that. Ashley pondered on that. Had her mother encouraged her to cook because of her heritage? Was that her nod to Cliff being her father? As long as that's all I've inherited. I do love cooking, but more as a hobby. I'm a nerd at heart. Maybe one day I'll go to college. Why one day? Why not now? Well, there's a small thing called a baby. Ashley put her hand on her belly. At the moment, it's a small thing, but soon it will be a big thing. And that's the thing I've been struggling with most. Well, you can study when you're pregnant. But what about when the baby comes? I can hardly take it to classes with me, can I? Some colleges are child-friendly. They have childcare programs. There was a pause. Or I could look after it. I promise not to teach it to cook. I'll leave that part to you. You'd help care for the baby? She couldn't believe Joanna would offer something like that. Would you want to? Be Auntie Joanna? Oh, yes, I'd love it. This grilled cheese is so delicious. What are you teaching me to cook next? She heard the buzzer on the gate. They'd been talking and hadn't noticed the time. That must be Mel and Eden. You'll be okay with Mel? Joanna stood up and picked up their empty plates. Yes, last night seemed all right, unless she was waiting for us to be alone together again to yell at me. I have a confession to make about that.
A confession?
I might have accidentally told Eden that it was Nate who broke up with you.
Oh. She'd been worrying about it ever since, and wondering if Joanna would be upset. Was she? She couldn't tell.
I was defending you. That's one of my jobs, alongside teaching you to cook and sweeping sand from the living room. I'm not going to apologize for any of that. I do apologize for spilling a secret. I'm not generally a gossip.
Right, Joanna breathed. It wasn't a secret exactly. I didn't even know that was what she thought until she turned up here. And we haven't discussed it, because it never felt like the right time. The buzzer went again, more insistent this time, and Ashley shrugged.
Maybe the right time is now.
Chapter 20. Mel. They took towels to the beach, as they had when they were children, along with a cooler Joanna had filled with drinks and snacks. Mel stripped off her top and shorts, sprawled on a towel in her swimsuit, and examined her legs and arms. Remember when we used to count freckles?
Yes.
Joanna settled down next to her, the brim of her hat almost concealing her features. But I always won that game. Mel looped her arms around her bent legs and rested her chin on her arms.
I missed this view,
she almost said, and I missed you. But maybe that was too much too soon. She had other more pressing things to say first.
The view is almost the same from the Surf Cafe.
Not really. My view is full of people. Here, you have the ocean to yourself, just you and the water and the wildlife. As teenage girls, they lay on the sand, simmering in a soup of teenage hormones, exchanging thoughts and experiences, their agile minds bloated with questions.
What? Would you ever...
Mel had spent the night planning how best to apologize, but now the moment was here, she just plunged right in.
I owe you an apology. I didn't know Nate was the one who ended the relationship. I only found out last night,
and had a sleepless night because of it.
Ashley told you. She told Eden, but I'm glad she did, so don't be angry. You must have wondered why I came up here yelling that first time.
She was mortified to remember it, and it was no good telling herself that she hadn't had the facts. She should have considered other options, taken a more balanced view, as Greg always did.
I'm not blaming you for that, Mel. I am. I need to fix myself. I'm a horrible person.
What? Joanna turned to her, horrified. Nate, not telling you what happened doesn't make you a horrible person.
But I should have thought there might be more to it. I should have asked myself more questions about why he would never talk about it. I'm 40. You'd think by now I would have learned to be a better human being.
You're a wonderful human being. Always have been. Joanna brushed sand from her legs.
If you were perfect, I'd have to hate you.
Yeah, well, you have every right to do that. She was not going to cry.
she was not going to get all emotional. She was going to own her mistakes and try and learn from them. Joanna reached across and touched her arm.
Mel, stop it. Stop beating yourself up when none of this is your fault. If there's blame, then maybe it lies with me for not talking to you about it, and Nate for not telling you the truth. But he never talked about our relationship, and frankly, I liked that. I liked the fact that we had something he didn't share with anyone else. It made it feel special.
I was so angry with him last night when I found out the truth. Aren't you angry with him?
For the fact that he ended our relationship? No. Was I upset? Yes, of course. Devastated.
Joanna paused. But he did the right thing.
What?
Mel whipped her glasses off her nose. You don't mean that.
I do. And I admit that it took me a long time to see it, but I see it clearly now. I was a mess, Mel. I was barely holding it together, living with Denise, who stripped away my confidence and sense of self-worth layer by layer. The last time I saw her was something I've never forgotten.
I can imagine, but I loved Nate. I really did love him. But the truth is, I also depended on him. I used him as support, and that wasn't healthy.
Well, he was everything to you.
Exactly, and that's not healthy either. No one can be everything.
Joanna stared out to sea. I'm not surprised Nate felt uncomfortable with the pressure. It wasn't fair on him. I'm not surprised that he questioned what our love might have looked like had I not been so dependent on him. I'm not surprised that he didn't trust it.
Breaking up was a difficult thing to do for him, and hideous for me, but it was brave.
And he did the right thing. Apart from kissing Whitney, of course. That part was clumsy, unfortunate.
Mel sat cross-legged on her towel. Whitney has been married to Richard Kelly for the past 15 years. We were on the school committee together for a while. She's ferociously organized.
She always was.
She hasn't changed. It's exhausting, although useful if you want something done. Her daughter was in Eden's diving class.
I remember Richard. Not sure I would have pictured him with Whitney.
I would never have pictured Whitney with Nate.
I think it was just a kiss.
Well, I'm relieved about that, because a lifetime of spending Thanksgiving with Whitney telling me where I was going wrong and providing me with a spreadsheet so that I could do better next time would have made me move to Hawaii.
Joanna laughed. Oh, I've missed talking like this.
Me too.
What else has been going on in my absence?
Mel smoothed sunscreen onto her arms. Ellen Gray and Linda Merrick bought the guest house on the corner of Ocean and Sunset.
Oh, I loved that place. It was falling down.
It's not falling down now. They've turned it into an upmarket boutique B&B. Their breakfasts are to die for.
We should go.
The view from the terrace is great. They adopted a little girl a while back. Eden babysits sometimes.
Did you hear about Dan Little?
No. What happened? Joanna rolled onto her stomach, chin on her palm as she listened. And Mel thought back to all the times they'd done this, to a time when sharing everything with Joanna had been part of her life, one of the best parts. She talked, telling Joanna everything she could recall, from small scandals to big changes. And when she finally paused for breath, Joanna smiled.
Does anything happen in Silver Point that you don't know about?
Greg has his finger on the pulse, obviously. Not that I repeat anything he tells me. But this is a small town, so if you're arrested, people are going to find out.
Also, I'm an interfering busybody, so I volunteer everywhere, not because I'm a caring person, but because it means I know everything that's happening.
You're a caring person, Mel. You always have been. Joanna pulled her hat off. And Mel thought that without makeup or newly styled hair, she looked more like the Joanna she'd grown up with, the Joanna she knew.
My life here must seem pretty boring compared to yours. All those fancy events you attended, all those famous people you mixed with.
And now she was curious.
Was it exciting?
Joanna sat up.
Sometimes. And sometimes it was lonely.
Did you have good friends?
I spent time with people. But there was no one I was close to.
Hey, are you saying you never replaced me?
Joanna laughed.
You were irreplaceable. She looked at Mel. I should probably be apologizing to you for leaving town without getting in touch. But I was crushed by breaking up with Nate, and my stepmother was vile, and it was all too raw, and I didn't want to put you in the middle of it. I knew you'd be angry with him. I didn't want to be the cause of a rift between you, and I didn't want you to try and persuade him to change his mind. If Cliff hadn't charmed you that night, what would you have done? It was something she'd often wondered. How big a part had fate played in Joanna's departure? If Cliff hadn't shown up, would she have stayed in Silver Point? Joanna lay back on the towel and stared up at the sky. He didn't charm me that night. That wasn't what happened. But that's the story that he always told when anyone asked him. I guess he thought it sounded better than, "This girl was crying into my chowder, so I took her for a walk on the beach." He took you for a walk? I thought it was an amazing whirlwind seduction, sexy older man and all that. There was nothing like that. He saw that I was upset. He waited until the end of my shift, and then we went for a walk. I told him everything. Cliff was a really good listener when he wanted to be, and I was in a bad place. I told him I was going to leave. I'd already decided I wasn't going home to Otter's Nest that night. I packed a bag and stowed it in the back of the cafe. I didn't want to spend another night under the same roof as Denise. You could have come to me. You could have stayed with me. When Nate had just broken up with me? Mel had to admit, it would have been complicated. Damn it. I hate that you were in that position. I hate that you felt you had to leave and that you didn't talk to me about it. I was a bad friend. Joanna reached across and touched her arm. You were a great friend. The best. None of this was about you. If I'd been the best, I would have known all this. Mel couldn't forgive herself so easily. I would have been there, blocking the road when you tried to leave Silver Point. I wouldn't have let you leave. You wouldn't have been able to stop me. I was desperate to put Silver Point behind me. Mel sat up. Enough. Enough regrets and self-punishment. So, what happened with Cliff? He loaded my small bag into his car, and we drove down the coast with the top down, listening to music and breathing in the air. And the farther we got from Silver Point, the more I thought I might actually survive. We spent 2 weeks in a beach cottage somewhere north of San Diego. Are you telling me that Cliff Whitman saved you? Because I've been hating him for treating you badly for years, and I'm not sure I can make that mental readjustment, too. It was hard to accept that she'd got it all so wrong. I suppose you could say he helped me save myself, at least at the beginning. And I'm not even sure I regret it. What would the alternative have been? Staying with Denise? Allowing her to erode my confidence layer by layer? No, I did the right thing. I know that for sure now. Joanna pulled off her hat and secured her hair in a twist. Let's not talk about Denise or Cliff. He's my past, and right now, I'm enjoying my present. Let's swim. Swimming. Wasn't that exactly what they would have done in the days when their friendship was simple and uncomplicated? Good plan. As long as you're prepared to be outclassed. Mel scooped her hair up into a ponytail. I was always way better than you, and hardly surprising. Your dad taught me, and he was the best. Joanna smiled. He was such a great swimmer. He really was. The best of all of us. But I'm second best. Mel jumped to her feet and raced to the water, ponytail swinging as it had when she was a child. Joanna followed and they plunged into the ocean as they had as children, swimming out beyond the rocks and letting the waves draw them back to the sand. Then they lay, wet and cold from the water, panting for breath. Joanna stared up the sky and then laughed. Thank you. Mel grabbed a towel and wrapped it around herself. For what? Swimming was your idea. For being you, Joanna sat up. For coming out here to see me that first day. Anytime you want to be yelled at for no reason, I'm your woman. Joanna squeezed water out of her hair. Now you thought you had a reason to yell. It turned out I should have been yelling at Nate. Oh, I did that too, by the way.
You did?
How did he take it? Like Nate, calmly. Although he did admit he messed up, so I took that as a win. My perfect brother isn't so perfect, which obviously means I can be smug and superior for a while, which is always fun. Mel sat up and scrubbed salt water from her face. So you don't think I should kill Nate? I do not think you should kill Nate. You want to do it yourself? Mel opened the cooler and helped herself to a drink. Me? No. Joanna reached for a drink, too. I have other plans. Plans? I'm going to cook him dinner. Mel choked on her drink. So you are going to kill him? No. Joanna was laughing, too. I'm going to enjoy an evening with him with no pressure. Thanks to Ashley, I have new skills. What kind of skills? Inside that cooler, you'll find cookies. What's that got to do with your skills? Mel helped herself to a cookie. She bit into it and caught it in her palm as it crumbled. Oh, wow, this is delicious. I don't recognize the flavor. Not one of Nate's. Pistachio and Greek honey. Mmm. Mel finished the cookie and helped herself to another. Who made them? I did, with Ashley's help. She's teaching me to cook. If I'm still alive in 5 minutes, I'll give you both a gold star. Mel chewed. These are good. So she's like her father? She's nothing like her father. Cliff didn't have the patience to teach anyone, least of all me. And Ashley cooks real food. Mel finished the cookie and brushed the crumbs from her legs. I've never eaten in one of Cliff's restaurants. Greg and I were in LA a few years back, and we looked at the menu. Too expensive for us. And she eyed Joanna. Dare I say pretentious? Totally pretentious. And overpriced? Hideously overpriced. When they served my food, I wanted to invest it, not eat it. And don't start me on the wine. Joanna started to laugh again, and Mel laughed too. And the next minute they were both giggling uncontrollably, as they had so many times as children. Mel wiped her eyes. I'm trying to imagine you with expensive wine. I dropped a bottle once. There were only a few hundred bottles of this vintage left in the world, and I dropped one. The wine in the cellar was worth more than the house. Joanna rubbed her ribs. I missed laughing like this. Me too. I missed you. I missed you so much. I missed you too. So much. Mel felt her throat thicken. What happened to the wine? Who owns it now? I do. That part of her life felt so distant now. He left it to me, and I have no idea what to do with it because I don't drink much. Well, you can do one of two things. Mel gathered up her things. You can sell it, or you could have a massive party and invite everyone from Silver Point. Whitney could organize it, and then you are guaranteed to have all the guests and invitations color-coded. Alternatively, just invite Greg and Nate. I'm sure they'd be more than happy to help with your wine problem. What about your job? What happens to that? That's something I'm still figuring out. Joanna put her hat back on and knotted her towel around herself. Without Cliff, the company is going to change, obviously, maybe even go bust, although I don't think so. But do I want to be a part of whatever's left? I'm not sure. I came here on impulse, but now I'm here. I don't want to go back. Then don't. Sell the wine. Live off the money. Joanna looked at her for a long moment. Maybe I'll do that. What about Ashley? What is she going to do? She is his daughter, I assume. The media didn't make that part up. No, they didn't make it up. Mel listened while Joanna told her everything, from start to finish. She told her about the happy times and about the bad. She told her about the miscarriage, about the affairs, about Cliff denying his daughter, and about where she'd been when she'd seen the news that his car had come off the road. When Joanna finally finished, Mel let out a long breath.